13. Promise. Yet I will do my best to recount their story and that of the wind, for they were her champions. From Knights of Wind and Truth, page 11. Shallan heaved a sigh of relief as, after flying several tense hours, worried about more enemy patrols, she spotted the Oathgate platform breaking through the beads ahead of them. Two towering spren, one coal-black, the other bone-white. Beneath was a disk of stone, perhaps 25 feet wide, with a small group of guards holding up lanterns and waving. Adolin and Gallant came soaring down, guided by Sheosak, the Windrunner. The midnight black horse touched down in a nimble trot, then proceeded to prance around the stone Oathgate platform as if on parade. Had she ever seen a Rashadium, a massive warhorse with hooves like a blacksmith's hammer, prance before? Shallan landed under Dre's care, and her weight settled upon her, clothing falling down straight, boots firm on the stone. She undid her hair from its frazzled bun, and a few beads fell from her clothes, clacking against the platform. Odd. She'd thought those had all shaken loose during 2 hours of flight, wind battering her. She turned to walk toward the guards, and the beads followed. Shallan froze, and a collection of beads, seeing her inspect them, bounced up and down. Was this an illusion? Storms, she hated that she had to ask herself that, but in the past, she'd done things she hadn't realized she was doing. Adolin dismounted nearby, frowning at the beads. What's wrong with them? Shallan knelt and picked one up, getting the impression of a rooftop. No, a domed cavern. No, a long, thin room. No, a goblet. A table. It was changing so quickly. Then it transformed from a bead into a swirling bit of color. Creation spren? She'd been finding them in her satchel all during her trip through Shadesmar, and now what? Pattern landed nearby with a stumble. He stood up, laced his long fingers together, and inspected the beads, his head shifting and transforming. Testament walked up behind him, though she didn't seem specifically interested in what they were doing. She was merely following the crowd, as Maya once had.
What are we doing? Pattern asked. Staring at the creation spren? I do like to stare. It makes me feel as if I have eyes.
Wait, Shallan said. Creation spren can look like beads?
Yes, they're tricky, Pattern said. Always pretending to be something else. Very tricky. Good liars. In here, though, most objects from your realm look like beads. The creation spren try to become those objects, so they get confused and swirl with light, or they just become beads.
She picked up another, and it bounced in her hand like an overeager child. She swore she could hear in her mind a little voice saying, Shallan! 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 Around her feet, the others bounced as well, some becoming swirls of color. Did that mean? Dre came jogging over.
We have a problem. Worse than the approaching army? Adolin asked. Involving it, perhaps.
They joined the guards, who were led by an Azish man in full military garb, including a sash of intricate, colorful patterns. He didn't salute. The Azish didn't salute those not in their chain of command, but he did nod respectfully to Adolin and Shallan.
It's the spren, the Azish soldier said,
waving to the two towering spren floating in the air overhead.
They brought us to Shadesmar earlier, but now they're refusing to talk to me.
The giant spren were the souls of the Oathgate, the very mechanism by which the machine worked, making it possible to transfer people in and out of Shadesmar or between places on the planet. Every Oathgate had them, and they had proven to be of varied levels of helpfulness.
Spren? Shallan asked, walking to the center of the platform and shouting upward. Spren? I am here by the authority of the bondsmith.
Which one?
The black spren asked, voice booming like a thunderclap.
Which one? Oh, right, Navani.
Both, Shallan shouted. We need transference to the physical realm.
We will transfer you, the spren said. For now.
For now? She shouted back. Why only for now?
We change, the spren said. We decide.
Change? She felt a spike of alarm. Dre, I need to go up there.
A moment later, Shallan and Dre hovered to eye level with the pitch-black spren. Her coat rippled as she hung, toes pointed down, smaller than just this massive spren's head. Behind her, the white one was staring out across the beads, in the direction of the army. Best they could tell, these were both transformed inkspren. Like the smaller inkspren she'd seen, the one before her had a faint sheen to it, a mother-of-pearl luminescence, like oil on water. Underneath, parts of the spren's face were turning from a jet black to a deep bloody red, like impurities in a gemstone.
Ja'anat had been here.
You've been corrupted, Shallan whispered. The guards were supposed to watch for that, protect you or raise a warning.
There was no warning to give,
the spren said, voice softer to not overwhelm her, though it still made Shallan shake and vibrate.
I have made my decision. So has my companion. We are ready for freedom.
Freedom? Shallan asked.
We become something else. Not odium. Not honor. Free.
With a feeling of sinking dread, a peace fell into place for Shallan. A large army moving through Shadesmar would be useless if it couldn't reach the physical realm. The real danger would be if it poured out through the portal to overwhelm Azimir, the heart of one of the Coalition's strongest nations.
You'd let the singers through? Shallan asked.
We let you through.
We're your friends.
I don't know you,
the spren said.
You aren't my friends. You are my oppressors. Now I find liberation. Go. We will transfer you and will continue to do so for now. When the singers arrive, we will transfer them. This is liberation.
Storms. Shallan didn't know how to react. If this spren was genuinely being corrupted, but the same thing had happened to Renarin's spren, and he continued to help them, right? Plus, she couldn't help feeling a pang of empathy for a spren who felt trapped. She knew that feeling.
I'm sorry, Shallan said, for what has been done to you.
I agreed, the spren said. First to the bondage, and now to the liberation. I am finished with what was.
It hesitated.
This is good for us all. Go to the other side. Leave me.
She considered trying to change the spren's mind, but realized the task was beyond her. She needed to reach Dalinar, Navani, and Jasnah. They would better understand how to handle the whims of an unexpectedly hostile spren. Plus, every moment they spent in Shadesmar seemed a risk. If her group were somehow captured or killed, the news would die with them. She nodded to Dre, and they dropped.
Ja'anat has touched these two, she whispered to Adolin. We need to go to the other side now, while they're still willing.
They gathered together, including the Azish guards, whom Adolin was filling in on the approaching army. She made sure all the windrunners were touching the stone, then called for the transfer. It happened in a flash of light, and instantly they were in a small dark chamber. The sensations of the real world poured in, the intoxicating scent of spices that she'd missed while dining on travel rations, the sudden absence of the omnipresent beads grinding together. Instead, wooden walkways groaning, footsteps, and beyond that, wind, the sound of a high storm blowing and rain pelting. It was strikingly beautiful to her, like an old familiar melody. All of it together reminded her how alien Shadesmar had been, and how strange the human mind was to have briefly found it natural. She lifted her arms to the sides, breathing it in, and out of nowhere, a suit of red armor locked around her, forming out of mist. It crumpled and even tore in places her long coat. It encased her arms, pushed her satchel painfully into her ribs, and locked her head in a helmet, pressing her hair against her scalp and pulling at some of the strands. Shallan gasped, suddenly constricted by the tight armor, and a part of her mind panicked, misinterpreting this as some kind of attack. Faintly, she heard the pieces speaking.
Shallan! Shallan! Shallan!
Gleeful, excited voices. So, one of those truths she'd spoken in there had done the trick. She had obtained the fourth ideal, likely when she'd confronted Vale, or when she'd spoken the words earlier to accompany those revelations. Adolin's eyes went wide, then he grinned like a schoolboy, joy spren appearing around him in a swirl of blue leaves. Great. Of course he would love this. Thankfully, Radiant came to her aid.
Can you do something? Radiant said to the armor. About the hair on the satchel?
The armor sent back consternation. It was new. These Spren had never been armor before, and had only vague impressions of how to proceed. Radiant was forced to send a distinct mental image, which made the gorget loosen, then the helmet vanished, so Radiant could pull her hair out and let it drape around her shoulders. The armor wasn't as intelligent as Pattern, but it was eager to please, so with proper visualization, she got the armor to vanish and reappear in a way that left the satchel on the outside. Unfortunately, the strap immediately snapped. As she grabbed it, the armor seemed thoughtful. Then one section fuzzed again, making a kind of side holster out of metal that would hold the satchel.
Shallan, the armor said,
voices of the pieces overlapping, sounding proud of itself. Well, that would do. If only Shallan would wear her hair in a utilitarian braid. It took so long to prepare it in the morning. Perhaps Shallan would agree to cut it down to an inch long? The immediate horror from Shallan made Radiant back away from the idea.
This is well, Radiant said, looking to Adolin. Though I will need training in its usage, I believe.
Yeah, Adolin said. Radiant?
She nodded.
Don't try to hold hands with anyone with that on, or pick up anything, or, well, just be careful.
She dismissed the armor and fell an inch or so to the ground. Then she summoned it again as practice, further ripping the coat and making Shallan cringe. Perhaps they could coach the Spren on that. The helmet appeared and fit into place, leaving space at her neck for her hair to spill out the back, which didn't seem the most intimidating image. The helmet, though, was wonderful. It was strangely transparent from the inside, giving her a full view. In addition, the glowing Lightweaver symbol emblazoned on the front of the suit was nicely striking. The creation Spren were eager to know if they were doing this right, so Radiant gave a mental reassurance. Inwardly, Shallan snickered, imagining them summoning their armor in battle and ending up with a pot on their head, a barrel around their middle, and various bathroom appliances stuck to their arms. So that was an image Radiant had to live with. That girl's imagination, honestly.
"We must quickly transfer to Urithiru," Radiant said, noting that the Azish guards were already running to deliver the news to their emperor.
The Oath Gate here in Azimir was unique, as it was defended in a strange way. This had once been a market, and had a large dome covering it. Upon hearing that the Alethi had access to the Oath Gates, the Azish had moved the market and turned this into a strange kind of inward-facing fortification. Radiant supposed that if one of the Oath Gates was going to get assaulted, this might be the best target. That large dome was mostly of metal, hundreds of yards wide, with a high balcony ideal for stationing archers to shoot downward. Only, could they say this was the sole Oath Gate being approached? Or were hidden invasion forces heading to other locations as well? The Azish made them vacate the control building first, despite her desire to go immediately. There was paperwork to fill out, of course, because this was Azir. Nothing too egregious, a log of who was using the Oath Gate and why. They'd need to wait for approval via span read. Radiant endured it. She probably could have bullied them into going faster, but as long as the news of the impending army was in the Emperor's hands, the news was out. Likely the information would get to Dalinar and Navani via span read before she and Adolin could reach the King and Queen. Though, storms, how late was it? In Shadesmar they'd lost track of the physical world's schedule. Talking to one of the guards, she discovered it was almost midnight and the middle of the high storm. As she was thinking on this, someone entered the small tent at the edge of the dome, where they were waiting. Kaladin, with his blue uniform and shoulder-length hair with a faint curl to it. Shallan had always appreciated that Kaladin didn't cut it short, as this felt like him. But Radiant did wonder at his reasoning. Didn't it give enemies something to grab onto? "Hey," Shallan thought at Radiant, "I'm not shaving my head."
"It would be so much more efficient," Radiant said. "And you could just recreate the hair with an illusion."
Shallan took over and hurried through the tent, jumping up to give Kaladin a hug. Storming Alethi giants. Syl entered a second later, and had for some reason grown to the size of a human, as she appeared in Shadesmar. Plus, she was in some kind of uniform. In that case, well, Shallan let go of Kaladin, who as usual had suffered the hug as if he were a log, and grabbed Syl in a hug, too. There wasn't much to hold. On this side, an honor spren was mostly incorporeal. Shallan's hands connected with something, but could pull in past the borders of Syl's substance. It felt less like holding a physical being, and more like the resistance you got when you pushed two magnets of the same polarity together. Syl laughed and tried to hug back.
"Hey, Syl," Adolin said as he stepped up and slapped Kaladin on the back. "Nice uniform."
"Thanks," Syl said. "I made it myself. Out of myself."
"I like the cut of the hem," Adolin said. I haven't seen many Ko-Takamas around, except in old art.
Stop gushing about clothing, Shallan said, then looked to Kaladin. Do you have news?
We have news.
An army is gathering in Shadesmar, Adolin said. They're mobilizing against Azamir.
We need to scout the other oath gates, Shallan continued. Can you fly us?
After we talk to Dalinar.
Kaladin smiled. I'm sure some windrunners can be assigned to that. I'm not going into battle anymore. Your father has another duty for me.
Another duty? Adolin said.
It can wait. There will be a meeting. We have to address this attack.
I'm certain you will handle it well, Kaladin said.
He glanced at Syl, who nodded.
We're going to Shinovar with Zeth to scout out what's happening there, then hunt down Ishar the Herald.
Cal, Shallan said, there might be battle coming. Bigger than any fight we've seen before, judging by this mobilization. We need every soldier. Surely if we talk to Dalinar, he'll cancel your forced leave.
He's already offered to do that, Kaladin said. But I think I'm needed more elsewhere. Or maybe Wit would say, I need to be doing something else. It's time for me to find another path, Shallan.
Adolin inspected him, thoughtful.
It's all right, Kaladin said, meeting her eyes, then Adolin's. I can't explain it, but this is the path I have to take.
Storms. Is that optimism in your voice? She wanted to make some wisecrack, but found the words wouldn't flow, not given the expression on Kaladin's face.
Confident, yes, optimistic as well, but also regretful, solemn.
I think he's always been optimistic, Adolin said. You don't jump in to save a doomed man unless you're optimistic.
Honor is dead, Kaladin whispered.
You were wrong on that point, though, Adolin said. Honor isn't dead, but...
Kaladin started.
Honor isn't dead, Adolin continued. So long as it lives on in us. We'll go to the meeting without you, but we can meet at Jez's duty for a drink after.
We found a herald in Shadesmar, too, Shallan explained, showing him a drawing of Kalek. You can delay your trip a few hours to hear about it, right?
I don't know that I can, Kaladin said. Zeth, Syl, and I need to ride that high storm outside. We should have left already.
Cal? Shallan said, raising her chin. What's that tone in your voice? Out with it.
Wit made it sound like... Well, he made me think I should see the people I care about before I leave. We never know what is going to happen tomorrow.
Then, remarkably, even though she'd already hugged him, he awkwardly bent and gave her a hug. He followed it by hugging Adolin, and if she were the jealous type, she'd have noted that Adolin's hug was longer than hers.
You going to be all right? Adolin said, as Kaladin stepped back. No idea, Kaladin said. But I feel good, Adolin. That's all I can focus on for the time being.
Hey, Shallan said, leaning in. Keep an extra eye on Zeth. I don't trust him. We can handle him, Syl said. We've done it before.
If you're ditching us now, Cal, Adolin said, then I'm taking it as a promise for later. The four of us, he nodded to Syl. Drinks, once this is done. You two should go, Kaladin said. If you're right about an army, then Dalinar will want to meet immediately.
Adolin nodded, and as approval came, he gave Kaladin another slap on the shoulder before leading Gallant back through the corridor toward the Oath Gate. Shallan lingered a moment, then poked Kaladin in the side. I refuse, she told him, to say goodbye.
I'm leaving anyway, Shallan.
Leave, then, she said. But we started this, you and I, Radiance before anyone else.
Except Jasnah, and maybe Lift, and perhaps
you and I, she said, were there at the start. We meet at the end, like Adolin said. When the world is safe, and Dalinar's done what he needs to do, we can all laugh and joke again.
Shallan, you have to promise,
he sighed.
I can't promise what the future will be.
Reality warps around you, Kaladin. It always has. Promise me. If there's a promise, then we can make it happen.
He met her eyes, then nodded.
Drinks, jokes, laughter. At the end, I promise.
She gave him one last nod, then she followed Adolin, while Kaladin said a quick goodbye to Dre. After that, the Windrunner soared in with his squires and beat Shallan and Adolin to the control building at the center. There, Shallan summoned her shardblade and
it was Testament.
She froze, feeling echoes of loss, but then reconciliation. She had faced this. She could face this. From her coat she heard a soft buzzing, pattern, with his characteristic hum.
Two shard blades.
Adolin, Radiant asked, holding the ornate weapon.
Are there forms for wielding two shard blades at once?
Of course there are, he said. They're all practically useless, though.
Oh, she said.
Sword and knife can be effective, he said. And I've seen arguments for two side swords.
Even that's more showy, in my opinion, than effective. There just isn't much advantage to a second sword over a shield, or two-handing one sword. Plus, when we get to the length and size of shard blades... Well, Radiant, I think we still have work left to get you fighting effectively with one.
She nodded. But what was that about sword and shield? She determined to give that some thought after this was done. For now, Testament blade in hand, she stepped up and slid the weapon into the keyhole in the wall of the small control building. With a nod from Dre, who had swapped for more Stormlight reserves, she rotated the inner wall of the circular chamber, activating the device. They appeared in a ring of light on the cold, surprisingly warm, plateau outside Urethiru. Radiant frowned, stepping outside into humid, toasty, warm mountain air. Her ears didn't pop as she swallowed, as usually happened when she came to Urethiru. Shallan was back in a heartbeat. What had happened to the pressure? The cold? It was night here in Urethiru, but the tower was glowing. Light shone from windows up and down the structure. A pure, steady light. The wrong color. A shade too green to be stormlight. Other lights lit the way from the ground up, along the main plateau toward the tower, where the grand entry shone like the tranquiline halls themselves. Even the stonework seemed more colorful. The city she'd left had felt like the discarded shell of some animal. Now that animal had returned, and Urethiru was alive once more. The Windrunners streaked off into the sky, trailing Stormlight. They'd bring the news to the bondsmiths and generals. Adolin walked up to her, leading Gallant.
There will undoubtedly be a meeting of the monarchs in a few hours.
In a few hours? She said, surprised. I thought it would be immediate.
That is immediate, Adolin said with a chuckle. When you need to rouse everyone out of bed. We should have time for a quick change and a bite first, maybe even a nap.
She nodded, falling into step with him, and crossing the wide circular platform that made up the extended oath gate, preparing herself. The monarchs and bondsmiths would deal with the coming army.
she needed to gather the Lightweavers she'd left here and come up with a plan to deal with Marais.
Kaladin watched from the side of the Oathgate Dome in Azamir as Shallan and Adolin crossed it, holding hands. Who would have thought that he would be tearing up at the idea of parting from a couple of light eyes, one who'd rejected his advances, the other who was the king's son? He watched them go and found himself relieved. Storms, was this how his emotions worked when his brain wasn't betraying him?
What?
Syl asked. I was just thinking about how I'd pined for Shallan back before she was married.
Does it hurt seeing them together?
There's some latent pain, he admitted. More about being rejected, as nobody likes being turned down. But Storms, I'm actually happy it turned out this way.
Because they love each other? Syl asked.
Yeah. They're my friends. I want them to be happy. But there's more. I try to imagine myself with Shallan, and I can't help thinking our individual neuroses would feed off one another in dangerous ways. My sadness fueling her feelings of abandonment when I retreat, her self-destruction triggering my panic at being unable to help. He looked to Syl and smiled. It wouldn't have to go that way, of course. I've seen that it can help to be around people who understand firsthand what it's like for your mind to betray you. Maybe we'd have worked it out. But right now, I'm glad I didn't have to try. I'm glad she has Adolin. He's what she needs.
And what do you need?
Syl asked softly. Always looking out for me, are you?
It's basically my only job.
He took a deep breath. Well, I guess part of the reason for this trip is so that we can find out. The Oathgate flashed. Shallan and Adolin left, joined by Dre and his squires. Dalinar wants me in the line of succession, Kaladin thought idly. What would that make me, Adolin and Renarin? Brothers? Storms, from what he knew of light-eyed succession and genealogy, yes, they'd be brothers. Ever practical about such things, the Alethi made no distinction between adopted heirs and birthed heirs, just as being conquered by or settling in the kingdom made you Alethi subjects, regardless of heritage. Kaladin had spiraled toward death after losing his only sibling. Then he'd found Bridge Four and the people of the war camps. Now it seemed he had more brothers and sisters than he could count. He and Syl left the dome through a surprisingly long hallway. There was a thick stone base to the dome, here near the ground, and met Zeth in the waiting room at the side. Then he, Zeth, and Syl flew up high above the storm. They'd skimmed the top of it here, where their stormlight renewed constantly, but the winds weren't too fierce to handle. Kaladin absorbed the power of the storm, coming alight with stormlight, and felt satisfaction. We did well, Syl, he said. I'm proud of what we helped build and protect. I'll never completely let go of Tien or Teft, but I am proud of how I've grown.
You sound so final, she said, hovering next to him. All day you've had this feeling to you, even before we talked to Wit.
She drifted closer.
Is it the wind?
Partially, he said. But Syl, I find I'm not worried. We are going to survive this, no matter what Wit said. He nodded firmly. We're going to have that drink with Adolin and Shallan. He held out his hand to her, and she, after a moment's pause, took it. Together, with Zeth following, they soared forward to the front of the storm wall, then joined with the winds, heading westward. The end of day 1.